It's a WIP afternoon show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Replacement day on the WIP afternoon show. We would never replace this guy. Absolutely not. Shiel Kapadia of The Ringer joins us as he does every Thursday at 3 o'clock. What's up, Shiel?
I kind of like that idea. If you could replace Shiel Kapadia's terrible weekly hit with someone from, like, you know, 2012, who would you choose here? So, yeah, maybe if it gets slow in the offseason, you could throw that one out there.
Would I replace 2024 Shiel with 2012 Shiel?
Yeah, hey, he had more hair. I would do that right now. I'll sign me up.
Well, hair is overrated, Shiel.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's overrated.
I don't know if you know this. Ike over here is bald and beautiful. And you're bald and beautiful, too.
That's right. My fellow bald, we stick together.
That's right.
Shiel, we will get your replacement day picks at the end of the call. I know you rewatched the game, so there's been a lot of time between Friday night and now. Was there anything that stuck out to you on rewatch that was notable that didn't stick out the first time you saw it?
I thought that just the offensive line was a pleasant surprise. Now, I don't know how much of that was the playing surface and that kind of thing, but watching live, it felt like they played well, but watching Cam Jurgens on the film and rewatching him and Mekhi Becton, like, if they get that level of play out of those two guys, and that offensive line was my biggest concern for the offense going into the season. If they get that level of play, they're going to be a way above average offensive line, maybe like a top five offensive line. So it was one game, but it was a question mark for me, and I thought they handled themselves really well.
The Mekhi Becton thing is so interesting because if he ends up having a good year, it will also be interesting decision for him because you wonder if there will be a payday out there for him to return to tackle or if he's just like, hey, I have a new lease on life. This is what I'm going to do and this is where I'm going to be.
Yeah, the stakes are really high for him. I mean, when a guy doesn't get signed until after the draft, that tells you that there was not much of a market for him at all. He was kind of on his last legs here, and depending on how this season goes, his career is going to go down one path or the other. Now, guard got paid a lot of money last offseason. I mean, you had sort of slightly above average guards getting paid like $20 million per year. So, you know, if you're Mekhi Becton, you're probably going to go with whoever's going to pay you the most money if you can put together a strong season here, I would think at least.
Talking to Shiel Kapadia from The Ringer. All right. Mm-hmm. Got to do Jalen. So they win the game. They put up big numbers. He put the ball in jeopardy a few too many times. What did Jalen look like on rewatch? And would you say that there was more positive to take from it or more negative to take from it?
I mean, if I'm looking at like an average Jalen Hurts game and what this game was, I thought it was below average just because of the decision making. I mean, when you turn it over two times, one time in the red zone, I think both interceptions, I know what he was kind of looking at, but at the same time, you make those decisions, you turn it over, and then you had two other passes that were near interceptions. I mean, that thing could have gotten really disastrous really fast for the Eagles, and so I just try to look at it based on what we've seen as Jalen Hurts the last few years here, what kind of the average Jalen Hurts game looks like, and he made some great passes. There's no doubt about it. The throw to Saquon Barkley for the touchdown, that was a beauty. He had the nice deep ball to A.J. Brown. He showed progress against the blitz. So it definitely was a mixed bag. It was ups and downs, a bit of a roller coaster. But the decision-making was something that's probably a little bit out of character, so let's get a bigger sample for it. But, you know, that it was a little bit concerning rewatching.
Yeah, when you look at that first one, let me ask you this from a different angle. Kellen Moore dialing up that play back in your own red zone. I mean, Jalen basically had to drop into the end zone to make that throw. Would you have liked to have seen something a little safer there, like a draw play or a screen on third and long?
Yeah, I understand it. I generally lean towards being aggressive because, you know, okay, at that moment in the game, you don't really know what's the game going to look like. I think going in, we all thought, man, this Packers offense might light up the Eagles defense. So I don't like just throwing away a possession like that. And I feel like you got to trust your quarterback in that spot. Now, Landon Dickerson gets pushed back. He has pressure in his face. Like you mentioned, he's in his own end zone. So I'm not saying it's an easy decision and he's doing all this in 2.5 seconds time. So I'm not making it sound easy. But I don't have an issue with being aggressive there and trusting your quarterback.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was, I mean, we've talked about the plays in so many different ways. I think that was just a different perspective to try to look at how a coordinator can sort of help your quarterback out and not ask him to do things that could be risky there. But I also understand the idea of you're going up against a team that has a high-powered offense, and you're trying to be aggressive. So I can see that, too.
Shiel Kapadia joins us from The Ringer. Shiel's with us 3 o'clock every Thursday. So the Eagles, when you look at the stats and actually your eye test, did not get very much pressure from anyone playing on the edge. Now, rewatching that, I guess, were there any positives to take from any of those guys that played? And how much do you think the field itself had a part in preventing them from being as effective as you'd hope?
Yeah, definitely. It definitely played a big factor. I mean, I would say the field surface seemed to affect Bryce Huff as much as or more than any other player. I mean, he was slipping all over the place in that game. Now, everyone had to deal with it, but if you look at both pass rushes, no one really got too much pressure on the quarterback. Jalen Carter had some nice reps in there. Josh Sweat had some nice reps in there. So that part is going, you know, I say, all right, let's get a bigger sample. Let's see what it looks like on Monday night. Because if you look at that Falcons offensive line, I mean, the Steelers took it to them last week, and they were just rushing with four. They weren't doing anything fancy. They weren't blitzing, and they were really taking it to that Falcons offensive line. So if we get to a point next week where you're asking me this again, saying, hey, Bryce Huff, two games, hasn't really gotten near the quarterback, then I'm going to be a little bit more concerned. But it is a question mark, not just because of what I saw, but the usage. When the defensive coordinator is telling you, hey, Brandon Graham, I'm playing him as much as or more than Bryce Huff, and then you know what Vic Fangio said at his press conference this week, my ears perked up a little bit that, you know, he's going to have to prove himself a little bit that he deserves to be on the field more to Fangio, or at least it seems that way.
Yeah, I'll tell you a couple guys that have proved to everyone that they deserve to be out there on the field more, and one has, I guess, now been named the starter for the foreseeable future. Our linebackers, man, our linebackers played very well. Nakobe Dean still looking to sort of prove himself and establish himself as a starter in this league. And then Zach Bond playing in somewhat of a different role in which he's used to playing in previous years. He seemed to make that adjustment very well. How'd you think the two inside backers played this week?
Yeah, no doubt. What a pleasant surprise, especially with, you know, the questions we've had with this group going into the season, in past seasons. I mean, Zach Bond, you know, Vic Fangio obviously had a plan for him, but I was still saying, all right, let's see what this actually looks like on the field. I mean, the way they were using him, where he's rushing the passer, I think 13 or 14 times, he's dropping into coverage. You know, Reed Blankenship, that interception was one of the biggest plays in the game, and Zach Bond is running with the tight end down the middle of the field to make that a harder throw. So, yeah, I thought he was playing kind of just his energy, his physicality, his athleticism really stood out. 15 tackles in the game, so definitely want to see more of him. And Nakobe Dean, I thought, did a good job too. I mean, he blows up a screen. He was aggressive. He wasn't questioning himself. You know, they get him a couple times on play action, but that happens to most linebackers in the NFL. So a very, very strong start to what was maybe the biggest question mark on the entire roster going into the season.
Obviously, Saquon Barkley played awesome. What I compared it to T.O.'s debut with the Eagles, and it is hard to dispute that at all. This is simply your opinion. Let's say you are head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. You're looking at a 17-game schedule. Saquon Barkley's been injured, blah, 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 blah. How much do you think about, you know, his workload and it being too much? Or do you just say this guy is our best playmaker on offense and we're going to give the ball as much as we can possibly give it to him?
Yeah, it's a great question because, I mean, what he showed in that game was unbelievable. I mean, that on rewatch even, it was just like, it wasn't just the big plays. It was, there are plays where it looks like there's nowhere to go and he picks up 9 yards on it and kind of gets skinny in between two of the offensive linemen or makes the guy miss. So it was so, so impressive. The workload thing is going to be something we're probably going to talk about for most of the season. I mean, in that game where you're facing an NFC opponent and it's a competitive game coming down the stretch, I don't have an issue playing him that many snaps and giving him that many touches. Now, if they're blowing someone out and they're up by 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter and you're out there running him, then I would say that's probably a spot to give him a little bit of a breather and ease up his workload. But, you know, they signed him for 2 years guaranteed. So they're going to use him for 2 years and get the most they can out of him for 2 years. But it is a fair question. You want that guy healthy in December, in January, and hopefully in the playoffs.
Man, he just looks so smooth as a runner. I think we honestly forgot, Shield, what an elite running back looks like. Now, we've had some decent backs. They even won the Super Bowl with a combination of sort of journeymen with LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi. But not since we had Shady here as our running back have we had a true franchise running back. And I know we got him in like 6-7 years into his career, but still, last Friday night, he reminded a lot of people that he is a franchise running back.
I mean, I had the same thought. If you look at their running backs over the years and you look at the numbers, hey, he's been pretty good. But now you look at a guy who can create when the play is not there.
Yes.
And that's something they have not had for so – I mean, even that touchdown run he had where they get the ball three times in a row, I mean, his lower body strength to just power through defenders – and get in the end zone, and then you combine that with the lateral agility. I was with you. I was watching it going, I don't remember the last time I saw an Eagles running back play like this, and I think you're right. It was LeSean McCoy during those Chip Kelly years was the last time you had a guy who, hey, the defense can sort of do everything right, and it still might not matter. He still might create an explosive play. Just so, so fun to watch.
All right, Shield. It's replacement day on the WIP Afternoon Show. Here's how it works. You replace one 2024 Philly with an 08. One 2024 Eagle with a 2017 with the hopes that it will improve your chance of winning a championship. Managers and coaches are eligible. For Phillies, which 2024 Philly are you replacing with an 08 Philly?
All right, the Phillies one was way easier for me than the Eagles one. I don't know how you guys felt about it, but I got to go Chase Utley over Bryson Stott. I don't know if that has been a popular choice or
yes.
not.
That was Jack's. That was Jack's pick. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you look at I like Bryson Stott, but, I mean, he has been one of their worst hitters all season long if you just look at anything statistically. And Chase Utley was one of the best hitters in the entire major leagues that season in 2008. So I'm just looking at where is the biggest gap, where's the biggest upgrade, and that's pretty easy to me. That is Chase Utley over Bryson Stott.
All right. Eagles, which Eagle?
This was tough. I mean,
this one is difficult.
I was going back and forth, the lines of scrimmage, and what do we do here? I mean, you can make a case for Kelce, even though what I just said about Cam Jurgens, I mean, Jason Kelce in 2017 is like one of the best offensive linemen I've ever seen. So that's the one I'm weighing as I decide here on the fly. The other guy, I'm looking at BG, Brandon Graham, for one of the edge guys who we just talked about. I mean, 29-year-old Brandon Graham, 9.5 sacks, 15 tackles for loss. You can play him a bunch of snaps. You can line him up on the inside or the outside. I think I'm going to go Brandon Graham over. Now, do I choose the edge rusher? Is that how this
Yeah,
goes?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Let's choose. Oh, man. Am I going to give up on Bryce Huff? Jeez. I'm going to go Brandon Graham over Bryce Huff.
There you go.
Now, Shield, this creates an interesting situation where you have two Brandon Grahams on the team. You will have a younger Brandon Graham and then a retirement tour Brandon Graham. So it might make him even better because the older Brandon Graham can teach the younger Brandon Graham everything he knows.
And just think about the locker room.
Yep.
Brandon Graham's always smiling, always laughing.
That's a good point. Yes.
Chemistry, two Brandon Grahams, you can't get better than that. So there you go.
I like it.
All right, Shield. You can read his stuff at The Ringer, listen to the Philly Special Podcast. Appreciate you, Shield.
Appreciate it, brother.
All right, so Devin White, who we didn't talk to Shield about, was asked.
Well, he didn't play.
Yes, was asked in the locker room today by our Elliot Shore Parks, I believe.
Of course.
About his role, and here's what Devin White said.
They said that you have a role on this team moving forward. Nick said they're going to need you. Did they describe to you what that role was?
You had to get it from him.
How did they tell you that? Nicobe had won the position battle?
I don't know. I can't recall.
No, did Vic come to you?
No.
Did Vic come to you? No. What's your role in the team? You have to ask them. This guy's never going to play for this team.
0% chance.
Yep.
Well, hold on. Why do you say that?
I just keep saying, like, it's...
Well, if he can play because somebody gets injured, he could be out there playing.
I just... It's the wrong vibe. I just like...
Well, to be fair...
Yeah.
He wants to play.
For sure.
So he's not dealing with being beat out very well.
And I understand. And yeah. I can understand from an ego perspective, if I were him, how I would feel. Because he got signed here thinking he's on a contract year.
He's going to play. Yeah.
But this is what I would say is like, all of that thought that you had going into it, how important this year is to you. Everything about this year is important for you because obviously the rest of the NFL was not particularly impressed with you because you were available late in free agency for a one-year deal at a low guaranteed number. So the thing that you could do at this point is figure out, okay, why am I not playing? And then because you will get on the field at some point. You know, at some point you will get on the field, but you want to increase the possibility that you're going to get on the field and increase the possibility that other teams and this team are going to say, hey, this is a guy we can count on when we go to him, that he's not going to be pouting on the sidelines or yada yada. And by the way, the last thing.
Go ahead,
he's had several days to sort of like internalize
this. He's still upset about it.
And he knew he was going to get asked about it. You know,
he gave you the best he could give you without setting everything ablaze down there.
I will say his ankle sounded really banged up with that.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying that he should be playing. Don't.
No.
Yeah, don't take that from me. I just think that they're going to have to make a decision. And I'm not totally disagreeing with you that he may never play for the Eagles, meaning they may have to move on from him via trade or what have you if he's not on board with the team plan. You can't have a guy here who doesn't want to be a part of the team and isn't necessarily all in with the vision of what you're trying to do, whether he's trying to be helpful to N'Kobe, to the younger guys, be somewhat of a mentor. But I also see it from his viewpoint.
Sure.
I see it from his viewpoint as a player. He's saying to himself, I signed here. I don't know what assurances he was given when he was signed here. Yeah, sometimes these guys sign here, they're like, look, you're coming in. You're the guy. You're not going to have to battle for a position.
It kind of reminds me of when they signed Kelly Oubre and they signed Caleb Martin and both got announced as starters, both signing deals that were probably lower numbers than they expected.
Yeah.
And I know that the reason that those guys were announced as starters was
because that's what was told to him, yes.
Yep. But
this brings me to this.
Yes, go ahead.
Vic Fangio doesn't do free agent signings. So he didn't tell Devin White.
I'm just saying, if
that was relayed to him, that's how it would have been relayed to him. It wasn't relayed to him by Vic. Vic is looking at the film, and he's going to put the best player out there. That's the way he's looking at it. I certainly hope this is the last thing this team needs in their locker room. So I would hope he would find a way to, like you said, it's been enough days, and it still doesn't sound as if he may be fully enthused about this, which I can understand why he wouldn't be enthused about it. But at the same time, you've had enough time and you're a veteran to give an answer to where you seem at least more in support of their decision, and you're going to be a good teammate, and you'll be ready when your number is called.
It's exactly that. Like he could say, I was disappointed. I'm not going to get into how they told me. Yeah. I was obviously disappointed. I want to play, but I'm here to do whatever the team needs me to do to win.
Yeah.
And I'm going to prove them wrong. Okay.
Well, don't even say I'm going to prove them wrong.
If you get the attitude, though, right? Yeah. That you're going to do whatever it takes to make the team good.
Yes.
So, he did say something along those lines at the end. He's like, I'm here to help the team. Whatever.
Okay. Okay. Well, you didn't play that for us. Yes. So
well, not as interesting.
Well, I'm just saying, I didn't hear that, so I didn't know if he was saying that.
I give him credit then.
Okay,
I'm glad you
brought that up. Because now, we can make sure we said that and presented it.
I'll play the full 2 minute and 45
seconds. No, you don't have to. You did, yeah, right, by telling us that he said it. So that's good. He said it. Okay.
I just was not slighting you.
Well, I just
want
to make sure people know this.
Because we don't ever want to misrepresent him in any type of way. So
then he did it all correctly. No, I'm just kidding.
No, he got he probably realized in the middle of that interview, like, yeah, let me wrap this thing up and put a bow on it.
Will be interesting to see if he is active on Monday night.
The reason why I think he will play eventually, because N'Kobe hasn't shown us that he can stay healthy for 17 weeks.
That's for sure. Yep.
So I'm not hoping. I hope N'Kobe actually does play well all 17 weeks. But he has to show us he can be a starter for a full season.
I would love.
And I think that's why the Eagles are still saying, He's going to be needed at some point down the road because they don't know it with these young guys in there.
It would be interesting to ask Vic Fangio to see if, because he seems particularly honest.
Straightforward.
What are the linebackers that are starting? What is N'Kobe Dean doing that Devin White is not
That's
doing?
He's not answering.
You don't think so?
No. He's smart enough not to do, because that would cause a problem with the head coach
right.
everybody else.
From a strategy standpoint. Yeah. And even his value if they think they could trade him or whatever. All right. Interesting. So interesting. All right. The replacement day rolls on. Also, speaking of replacements, there was a player on last year's Eagles team who we replaced with Bryce Huff, who is still not playing for the New York Jets. And there is a rumor or a report out there that there may be a chance to obtain said player. From, I would say, Jack, you would say a trusted source?
Yeah.
Valuable source? Eagles, maybe? Eagles Insider of the Year? We got to put that guy on.
He's national.
Oh, okay.
That hurts Insider of the Year.
Well, if the local beats don't get their asses in gear, we may have to start picking national guys. Eagles Insider of the Year, Adam Schefter. No, this report does not come from Schefter. So all of that next.
Will we get to Nick Sirianni at some point?
Oh, yeah, we'll do that next too. Well, I'm sorry, we had Sheil, and then we had the.
I just threw it out there.
Yes. Yeah, we'll do that. I'm just trying to figure out all the plays. Then we have Lombardi. Yes. We'll do that as well. All right, that is all coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
0-1 the count. Romero fires home with a pitch grounded towards the middle. Long run for Utley, and he backhands, flipped the. No, he'll hold on to it. The runner's trying to score. The throw home, the tag. Yes! Out! Great tag by Ruiz.
What a play by Utley, though.
As Utley gets it home, Bartlett trying to score from second on the infield grounder, and a heads-up play by Utley not to release it to first.
So that's why you want to replace Bryson Stott with Chase Utley.
Well, I just the heads-up play.
It is a heads-up play.
Now, Bryson Stott also made a play, the play last night against the Rays.
Yeah.
So you have to factor that in.
Absolutely. Replacement day on WIP. Not on WIP, just on, yeah. Not hosts, though I'm just waiting for that.
It's on Twitter.
Waiting. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. On the afternoon show today, we are giving you the opportunity to replace one 2024 Philly with an 08 Philly and one. Is that me? Oh.
Boo, sorry. Boy.
Accidentally turned on a timer. This is my show. That's on me. Do not disturb doesn't work for the timer. You can replace one 2024 Philly with an 08 Philly, one 2024 Eagle with a 2017 Eagle with the hopes of winning a championship. However, and coaches and managers are valid. However, know that whoever you replace disappears. They cannot move position. Has to be position for position. If you pick a pitcher, has to be their you know, place in the rotation or their place in the bullpen. So you can't replace, I don't know, Matt Strom with Brad Lidge. You
right.
can't replace Ranger Suarez with Cole Hamels. That's not how it works. All right. 215-592-9494. Oh, where is my thing? There it is. Tom in Vancouver. You're on WIP. What's up, Tom?
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Tom.
What up, Tom?
You know, I'm listening to this. I'm thinking that probably a little take off the board rule might be helpful with this, because I'm totally on board with both of Jack's points.
His replacement. Mom, you can do that.
No,
you're fine
that.
With that. Yeah.
So Jack was replacing Bryson Stott with Utley, and then the more controversial one is Carson Wentz replacing Jalen Hurts.
I actually don't see how that could be controversial. Not if we're taking 2017 Wentz. If we're taking any other Wentz, I can see it being controversial.
Totally agree.
In 2017, he still had the locker room. He was dynamic. His arm was pretty good. And he only made a few bonehead plays. Like there was that one play in Seattle where he dove into the end zone and, you know, got his head clipped and the ball fumbled out the back of the end zone. But for the most part, he was really good that year. So I don't see how that could be even an argument.
2017 Wentz was special.
He was, and they won a Super Bowl with a whole other guy.
Yeah, they totally did. But that other guy had games that were totally up and down, and Wentz was much more consistent. And that would be my argument. Plus, overall, you know, until that injury, that he was more durable. Like, if we look at the arm of Foles, it was constantly he was having issues with it, which I think is a big part of the reason why he was relegated to a backup role.
Well, so that's the tough part of it. So the tough part of it is taking things from other seasons and sort of wedging them in there, because I could say same thing. I could say, Well, later on we learned that Carson wasn't particularly coachable, you know, didn't adjust, tried to make hero plays. So it's just year for year. I understand your point, but I don't, from the durability standpoint, it is a little funny to pick a guy who was injured for the rest of the year because he was more durable.
Yeah, well, okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
At the same time, let's look at Nick Foles in the games leading up to the playoffs. He was pretty questionable in some of those games. Wasn't Oakland that low-scoring game?
Oh, that was Christmas. Yeah, that was a terrible game. Yeah,
that was a bad one. That was a bad one.
Yeah, so and that's typical of what Foles would do. He'd have great games and he'd have terrible games. And by the way, my spouse loves Foles, so this is not
I wonder why.
Yeah, come on, man. This is Nick Foles' week now. Yeah. You know he's retiring Monday.
He's a wonderful guy, and his book was actually a lot better than Peterson's book. I read them both.
Not a shocker there. You know, I love Doug.
I didn't hear anybody who read Doug's book. What was it, Fearless?
Yeah.
It was Fearless, and he coached like a very fearful coach the season after. It was sort of ridiculous.
Yeah. The Doug story is an interesting one. He will always have a place in our hearts. I do think he's a good coach. I do think players like playing for him. I do think he has a good mind for offense. And I do think he just has he's got this wonderful doofus quality to him.
I will have something on my face for sure.
Oh, man.
I'll never forget.
I'm not the smartest guy.
Well, Tom, give us your favorite video game for next question. All time.
So it sounds like we're going a little bit old school on a lot of these. So if we continue along that theme, then I'm going to take the original Castle Wolfenstein, the one that was like, it was on like Apple IIe's.
Yes.
And you had these like two-dimensional things. And then when the SS soldier would come up, he'd go, Achtung, Schweinhund.
Yes.
And it would put terror throughout my heart.
Yeah, so Castle Wolf is that. Thank you for the call. And you just reminded me that the other computer that people would have to play video games on was Commodore 64. So now that I'm remembering it, so thank you, Tom. There were these, because that was the original Doom was on, I think, Commodore 64. Oh, okay.
You don't remember Castle Wolfenstein.
Yeah, it was like, I think you went and hunted down Nazis. I think that's what Castle Wolfenstein was.
Can I name the gold one that you were talking about?
Yeah, sure.
Nobody's going to name it.
Oh, sure, go ahead.
You think somebody's going to name it?
Well, I don't know. You can name it. You take stuff off the board.
I may be wrong.
How many letters are in it?
Oh,
like she's
five.
Correct.
Okay.
We're probably on the same page. We're probably on the same page. The Twitter question.
I had to spell it like.
Like was using his fingers. It's just so we're
there's
away.
There's nothing wrong with that. Some of us still do that.
If it had 12 letters, would Ike have to take one of his shoes off? That's the question. All right. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design and find out how to win at 94wip.com/Mark's. Which would you rather listen to at 5 o'clock, the top five at five, or Jalen Hurts speaking at five? 57% say top five at five.
It's growing?
It's growing. Well, that is
we got a grower.
That's a double pause. That's it. By the way, the it's growing is a soundboard all timer. Right.
Nice
there.
And clean.
Yep. No one said anything around it. I actually held in the laughter just because of that. So Nick Sirianni spoke earlier today, had a bunch of interesting things to say, aside from the fact that he stops in the meetings all the time, which he does do. First, he spoke on the defense. Here's what he had to say.
Again, we are not in the business of blaming anything, or we are accountability, right? That's the only way you get better. So, you know, let's talk about missed tackles. You know, did some of the missed tackles happen? Did some of them happen because a guy slipped? Yeah, the result of the guy slipping, that happened, but there's also a way that you approach the running back. That's what needs to be fixed, you can't do anything about the field. And it's the same thing like as a wide receiver. When a wide receiver slips in a break, well, you know that the field is a little bit sloppy, so you have to play with better fundamentals to go through that way. So but we will have to evaluate the approach to it, like, you know, the approach to the ball carrier. That's why we might have missed it. So missed the tackle or slipped in a route or whatever it might be.
Yeah, so what's interesting about this, it is so knowing the situation that he is in, talking about, he has to answer these questions.
Right.
The dynamic to me is just weird. If you're Vic Fangio sitting somewhere or and you're hearing the head coach who's not in charge of the defense, who's not even a defense guy, talk about why you misplaced. He has to do it.
Yeah.
What did you think? Because he's mentioned this a couple of times now, the tackling.
Yeah, and I think he has a great point. And just to try to explain what he is saying, he's basically saying you have to be able to break down. So when he's saying approaching the ball carrier, he's saying coming up under control as opposed to just flying up out of control and missing the tackle. Come up under control and just make the tackle. We don't always have to deliver the big hit. Sometimes you got to get the ball carrier down. The fact of him re-emphasizing it, because I think he said it a couple of times since the end of the game, I think it's his way of showing that he is involved in other aspects of the team and not just offense. We know everybody wants to ask him questions about offense and focus on offense. So part of it is him saying, I'm also aware of what's happening on the defensive side of the ball, and these are areas that we need to improve upon as well. And as far as Coach Fangio being in that position and having to hear that, here's what I would say. I'm okay with it, and I think Coach Fangio should be okay with it because Coach Fangio has been in this position to where he was a head coach and he had to speak about the offense. Right, he was a head coach in Denver.
Right.
And when they couldn't score points or the quarterback wasn't playing well, or if he was deciding who was going to be his quarterback versus who wasn't, would he bench Teddy Bridgewater, like all this different stuff, he had to answer those questions.
I think it's just...
Wasn't that Bridgewater that was his quarterback?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just weird because we're in this situation now where we've talked about Nick.
We know the behind the scenes thing from the far as, or we feel like we do from the, he doesn't have a specific role.
Right. With the defense or even with the offense. So where if somebody from another city heard the head coach say that, it would sound completely normal.
They wouldn't think anything about it.
For me, I'm like, why is he talking about that? You know? So he did speak about the offense, specifically the turnovers. Here's what he had to say.
The thing that, you know, where, you know, we can't be in the negative of the turnover. We're the only team in the NFL this week that lost the turnover battle and won the game. 10-1. We're 1-10, however you want to look at it. Like, we're the only team that won. That's not sustainable, right? That's not sustainable. So protecting the football, taking the football away, the details, right? The details. We missed too many tackles. You guys heard me say that. We talked about it with the team. We reinforced it today. We'll be doing drills out there when you guys are out there to get ready to tackle better. And so really the biggest emphasis is the details. Like you want to be the best in the world at something. It's about doing the basics better.
Do you think somewhere Jalen Hurts is gritting his teeth here?
Well, I'll say this.
If he can't talk directly to Jalen, he's going to say it to somebody.
Yes. And I give him credit. He didn't go into detail on it.
Right.
Right. I think he refrained and stayed away from getting into why the interceptions happened. I think Kellen Moore had already addressed this. So I felt like Nick was just basically stating sort of the obvious there. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. I think he's stating that you can't turn the ball over. You can't be in the minus side of turnovers and expect to win in the NFL. But here's the thing I will give him credit for. He could have very easily said, on some of those turnovers, I understand what Jalen was thinking and what he was doing.
And he didn't say that.
And he didn't.
Right.
So to me, that says they understand that this isn't something you want to necessarily make excuses for.
Sure.
You're not going to sit here and throw the guy under the bus. You don't expect him to do that. But also, you're not coming out making a bunch of excuses for why it happened.
Do we think... Now, Angelo Cataldi famously had a clause in his contract that the program director, Tom Bigby, was not allowed to tell him what to do or advise him.
How about that?
Do we think Angelo advised Jalen Hurts and there's something that Jalen has that says Nick Sirianni's not allowed to address?
Not allowed to speak about him? I don't think so. At least I hope not.
You got to win a Super Bowl first.
Yeah. I don't think so.
A couple of Super Bowls, maybe. 215-592-9494. Paul. Oh, no. Hold on. I screwed that up. Jake, sorry. You're going on hold. Wait a minute. Oh, hold on. There we go. Paul and... Sorry. I'm an idiot. Don't clip it, Jack. Paul and Woodland. You're on WIP.
Yo, what's up, fellas?
What's up, Paul?
What up, Paul?
All right, man. Come on, man. Not really. Nick Foles had one season good in his career. In the
not
playoff.
True.
And then this guy talked about...
It's not true.
...turnover, Wentz, can't be... And he had one good season, a 27-2. That's it. And yeah, the Super Bowl run. If Nick would have been our quarterback, we'd probably have finished 7-10 or something this year. He ain't doing nothing the whole season. Let me not get on my Jalen rant.
How many good years did Jalen have?
Well, he has a lot less years he played, so he got a lot more to play.
Yeah.
He had one good year and one average year, but hey, what is what it is.
Okay. So who are you replacing?
I'm replacing you with Marks and Fritz with Ben Livingston.
Wow.
Wow.
Ooh,
Mike,
boy.
What do you think of that?
No, that's a no. No.
I'm definitely joking. Jack's my favorite guy on the radio nowadays.
Yeah.
Jack is definitely my favorite guy on the radio. But really, I would trade for the Phillies. I'm getting Lidge back in. Matter of fact, no. I'm going to go with Pat Burrow for whoever else is out there. We don't even have a left fielder, right fielder right now. So Pat Burrell.
Yeah, Pat Burrell in left field would replace the combo of Austin Hayes and whoever the hell else we have.
Yeah.
Weston Wilson. Who would we replace? Do we replace Marsh and Hayes?
Yeah. It's Marsh and Hayes.
It has to be Marsh and Hayes.
Yeah. Right? The center field is Rojas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Partially Marsh, but
okay.
More Rojas.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that's a good one. I don't think it's the best one. I think it makes you better.
Right.
But
the one I said first was the best one, right?
Which is what was your first one? Oh, the Marks Lidge. Ben
Lidge.
Livingston.
Oh, Lidge.
Lidge for Estevez.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean it's look. Lidge
was perfect.
Lidge is sort of like the Nick Foles of relievers.
You're right.
You know, he had
1 year.
Yeah, so?
Well, that's the year to have it, though.
Yeah, that's the year.
But with the Eagles, man, this one kind of, because everybody took all of mine. So I'm going to just go with, I like the way the big guy played, but I'm going to take Brandon Brooks. Is that the same side? I don't know.
No, that's the same spot. You're talking about from Mekhi Becton, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Brooks, a good player.
Brooks was a beast.
Yes.
Guarding football at that time, man.
Yep.
This would have made this line even that much better. So that's who I'm gonna go with.
Hey, Paul.
And my video.
Yeah. What's your video game for next question?
I'm gonna go with NBA Jams, man. I used to love that, John. Man.
Yes, sir.
NBA Jams. Yes.
Get on fire and dunking from half court and all
yes.
that.
Yes.
Oh, I used to love that game, man.
Yeah.
All right. So who was your squad? Who was your squad?
Man, I would always go with dang, I can't even remember.
Okay. So good.
It's all right.
I would use either the Charlotte Hornets.
Well, so when
I, LJ and
when
and
I play
Lonzo.
People now, yeah. Charlotte Hornets are off. They're too good. Like
oh,
off
yeah.
the board. No one's allowed to use the Hornets.
The NBA 2 Jam?
Yeah, NBA Jam. They're too, now, that was the same game. That was out at the same time as Mortal Kombat.
Right.
So when I would go to that arcade Grand Run Mall and get my little pouch of tokens, it was all Mortal Kombat and NBA Jam.
Yeah.
Hornets were great in
yeah,
that game.
Yeah, that's a squad. The Hornets, man.
Who else did you use?
I used the Hornets and who you had? Did you have was Shaq and Penny on that one?
Yes,
that was Shaq and Penny,
yes.
right?
Yeah. Yes.
Shaq and Penny.
So I was Starks and Ewing.
I remember Starks and Ewing in that one.
Here we go again. Stop. And Oakley. Now remember, there were three.
It was three. You could. Yeah.
So Charlotte Hornets also had Kendall Gill.
Yep, Kendall Gill.
And the Knicks had Charles Oakley was their third. Did you ever play NBA Jam or is
no.
that before you two?
Yeah. I only know the shirts people wear. Like
yes.
I never played
yeah.
NBA
no.
Jam.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of times they'll do the NBA Jam
yes.
style shirts.
Wish I did.
Oh,
seems
man.
Like a great game.
Yeah, NBA Jam. He's on fire.
Yeah. Not just great. I mean, that is an all-time game.
Yeah.
It's an all-time game.
That was
game.
A classic, yeah.
Yeah. Gary in Vineland, you're on WIP. What's up, Gary?
What's going on? Spike, you like Army of Darkness, right?
I loved Army of Darkness, yes.
Did you, the new pitfall has Bruce Campbell as the narrator, and it's not a great game, but it's worth it just for his sarcasm.
What is the platform it's on?
I mean, it's been like 15 years.
Oh, I will check it out. I didn't know that. So Bruce Campbell.
Oh, yeah, it's hilarious.
Bruce Campbell is the star of Evil Dead 1, Evil Dead 2, and then Army of Darkness, which is Evil Dead 3. One of the best horror franchises of all time. Nah, so yeah,
I remember Evil Dead. I was never into Evil Dead.
Oh, really? The remake is good, but it doesn't have the sort of comedy that the original Evil Dead had. I thought Evil Dead 2 was the best one, but that's just me. So who are you replacing, Gary?
I think he would be great for the clubhouse. I think because the rest of the team is pretty set. I'm going to bring in Sugar Shane, man, flying Hawaiian.
Another vote for Shane.
Yeah,
that's a good move. Yeah,
I would say Shane's probably gotten the most votes for
Shane
for
and, Tate and Chase, right?
Yeah, Shane and Chase, I think, are the ones that've gotten the most votes.
He's not going to shake things up. He's not going to. He's just going to fit right in and.
Yeah,
have fun.
I think in this clubhouse, Shane would be
love Shane Victorino. Yeah.
And from a, I've never spoken to somebody who has a shorter attention span in my entire life than Shane Victorino. It's like if they had Guinness Book of World Records for short attention span, Shane. I'm amazed that on a high fly ball he would remember where he was going to catch the fly ball. That's what it is.
Well, defensively he didn't have the problem. It was when he was on base.
Yes.
Sometimes you forget he was on base.
Yes. Gary,
when he got thrown out from center field, that was classic.
Which 2017 Eagle are you replacing a 2024 Eagle with?
I want 2017 Brandon Graham.
Replacing
another BG.
Replacing Sweat.
Replacing Sweat. Okay.
Okay.
That's fair.
All right.
And once again, just like Shield, we now have two Brandon Grahams on the team. And I think the Brandon Graham show has both Brandon Grahams.
That's the key one.
Right,
so there's
there.
Two Eskins and two Grahams.
Just like everyone always wanted.
Yes. Yeah. Well, at least part of it. Yeah. And did you have, what was your video game?
Yeah, I think this game got banned on some platforms because of the fights. Blades of Steel. Shing.
Yeah, now Blades of Steel. Yeah, was a, thank you for the call, Gary.
I remember
Blades
a game.
Hockey game.
Yep.
I think Blades of Steel was original Nintendo. I think it was 16-bit Nintendo, and it did have the fighting. Of course, just like NHL 93, 94 had the fighting too, that famous scene from Swingers where he's like, I want to make Gretzky's head bleed. Which you could do by knocking somebody out. You ever see
Back
Swingers?
When men were men.
I have seen Swingers. Yeah. Right. John Favreau.
It's like when they
Vince
put the
Vaughn.
Hit stick in
Vince
Madden.
Vaughn.
Put the what stick
the
in Madden?
The hit stick in Madden.
See, that might have been.
It was 04.
Okay. So that might have been after I stopped playing Madden.
The hit stick was a game changer.
Yeah.
So what was the hit stick?
Oh, just like instead of tackling the guy, you could destroy
him.
There's
a way
him.
To make him fumble.
Oh.
Yeah, like you try to, you know, light him up.
So what is, would you have to push?
You just pet the right stick up. Like you just.
Right, and you had to.
Like I think X was the tackle. And then,
you had to push the stick up to do it. I knew it was something you had to do. See, I can't remember all those little things you have to do with the joystick or the, what do they call
controller.
It? The controller.
Which, by the way.
Well, hey, hold on, Jack. I grew up, it was a joystick.
Yeah, I know. Very old. Well, yes, controller is what we called it.
Atari was joystick. But then when we went to Nintendo and Sega, it was
I think
controller.
I'm still calling it a joystick probably. That's why I still used it, like joystick.
I wonder what your Madden 04 hit stick, like they used to have like
my rating was.
Like obviously Dawkins is super high.
That's got to be on the internet somewhere.
Yeah, my best Madden game was probably Madden 06, as far as my highest ratings.
As a football
individual
player.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's probably I got my highest ratings.
Coming up next, a guy who has always had high ratings with everyone in Philadelphia, Mike Lombardi. There was certainly never a time when anyone was negative about Mike Lombardi. Mike joins us next to, I'm sure, start off and talk about Joel Embiid. But right afterwards, I want to talk to Mike about Bryce Huff because he was very high on Bryce Huff, thought that Bryce Huff was an upgrade over Hassan Reddick. So we'll talk about that. Also talk to Mike about the report that the Jets will, quote, have to trade Hassan Reddick, that Jeremy Fowler reported that other teams think that the Jets will have to trade Hassan Reddick, and if he thinks the Eagles would do it. Mike Lombardi is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.